church. And
amen.
There's a lot of people on my mind today.
Yeah.
And maybe with the revival coming up, it'd be a good time that maybe we can work.
Amen.
To get them in.
God bless you, Sister Carolyn.
And I pray that, and I don't think Donnie will care for me saying this, but I pray that Donnie will ask my brothers to come.
Amen.
Hey,
chance to be seen what God does when He does something. Sometimes we see just a little bit of it.
That's right. And I know all of this out here, we can't see sometimes the big picture.
That's right.
But God knows the big picture. And if He would just mention it sometime, maybe they will see His life.
Amen.
See a change. And maybe they'll come.
God bless you, Donnie. You may not realize this, buddy, but I'll tell you what, when you stepped out last Sunday, I saw something I've been longing to see for a long time.
I pray for him, and
I,
he needs our prayers.
Amen.
We all need each other's prayers.
Hallelujah. I had longed for that moment. And Donnie, when he stepped forward last Sunday night, I know he had to push the devil aside to do it, but he did. And he come forward and called upon Him that's rich in mercy to all that call upon Him. And I'll tell you right now, boy, I got blessed. All the way home, I was trying to drive with two hands up in the air. Plumb ashamed that I held back that long. But God bless what happened last Sunday night. And what happened last Sunday morning, little Levi came up. Margaret said, couldn't you hear his heart beating? And I couldn't. But I'll tell you right now, she said she could hear his heart beating. And that's the way God is. He's bigger than us. When He does move it, I remember Jordan's girlfriend was here. And one of the things she said that really stuck out in my mind was she told Jordan, she said, couldn't you hear my heart beating back there? That's the way God does things. Boy, He's bigger than our heart. And He gets a pattern on that heart. You got to give somewhere. Go ahead, Brother Melvin.
162. Okay. Let's do I care
not today what tomorrow may bring, if sunshine or shadow or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain.
Living by faith,
yes, living by faith,
in Jesus above,
in Jesus above.
Trusting,
confide
in His great love.
Yes, in His great love.
From all our sins.
Safe from all our sins.
His sheltering arm.
His sheltering arm.
I'm living by faith.
I'm living by faith.
And feel no alarm.
Feel no alarm.
Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life. Never alarmed at the overcast skies, the Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith,
yes, living by faith,
in Jesus above,
in Jesus above.
Rushing above,
trusting, confide. Yes, in His great love.
Safe from all harm,
safe.
His sheltering arm.
I'm living by faith.
I'm living by faith.
And feel no alarm.
Feel no alarm.
I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Should I then care though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walked close to my side?
Woo! Living by faith.
Yes, living by faith.
Glory!
In Jesus above.
Woo!
Glory to God! Hallelujah! Yes, in His great love. I'm living by faith.
And feel no alarm.
Feel no alarm.
Our Lord.
Woo! Glory! Thank you, Lord!
Troubles
soon I'll be yours. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore.
living by faith.
Yes, living by faith.
In Jesus above.
In Jesus above.
Trusting combined.
Trusting combined.
And in His great love.
Yes, in His great love.
Safe
from all harm, safe.
Shelter in all.
His shelter in all.
I'm living by faith.
I'm living by faith.
And feel no alarm.
Feel no alarm. I'm glad Brother Melvin picked that song out. And actually, I didn't even realize this till we sung that song just now.
Molly, did you really credit?
If it wasn't for my faith, I couldn't live it.
Amen.
That's a good message,
son. Let me tell you something. I didn't even realize this. We sung this song. Yesterday, my wife, she got pulled over. Her license plate had been expired since September of last year. And it was obvious we was going to have to license her car. She wasn't the only one expired. They was all expired. But the farm tags didn't run out till last month. They run out in March. But anyway, I went up there to license her car, and I'm just going to license her car and try to get out of there as unscathed as I could, but I had to pay taxes on all of them, so I just went ahead and licensed them all. It cost $179. And I come home and told my wife, and she fainted, and she said, "We ain't got that money in the account." I said, "Well, have a little faith, honey." I said, "The Lord can help." She said, "Yeah, if He'd open the window of heaven or something." Well, guess what? Last night, I had to put new brakes on her car, and I went up over 24 hours, went to bed, and I got up last night, and I mean, I was in never land, because I really went beyond the physical limits of Eddie Wade, but I got her tires rotated, new brakes on her car. When she said it was making a noise, I knew it was going to be bad. But I looked on eBay, and guess how much went into PayPal account last night? $180. And I told her this morning, I said, "I told you when you live by faith, God will honor that faith." And last night, I went back, I said, "How in the world did that happen?" I couldn't believe it. $180 went in last night. I told her this morning, I said, "God paid your bill, transfer the money." And somehow or another, I can't explain God, but I can't deny Him neither. And I have found out when I've got a need that He rises up. I wrote that check. Thank God for checks. But anyway, I wrote that check. We're legal now. But you know, He's like that. He shows up right on time. And it was exactly $180. I don't know how to explain that. You explain it away if you want to. I'm just going to take it by faith and say, "Thank you, Lord."
Yeah, verse 3.
Amen.
Verse 3.
I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? And I say amen to that. There was no one that could be any more amazed than I was. But when I looked this morning, I said, "That cannot be true." I went back. I mean, I told her yesterday, I said, "Look, I'll list a bunch of stuff on eBay. Somehow or another, God will meet this need." I knew the check wasn't going to be no good, but we had the money anyway. You give God time to work, you'll find out He will work. Moses said, "Arise up, Lord, He will arise." Anyway, I listed a bunch of stuff on eBay and Carolyn. Some of it sold before I even got done listing. But when it all sold, there was $180 in the PayPal account. And my wife said, "Transferred that to checking account." All right, I'm done.
63. Sunrise will see. Chris, you're going to see the sunrise.
Yeah.
See Jesus in me. Yo, 63, everybody. Pilgrim.
For Jesus in the lowland of sin. Hoping that we at last the life crown may win. Serving the Master through the morning are we. Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Heavenly beauty makes the shadows to flee. Glory is waiting when the Spirit is free. Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Stranger,
but happy in His vineyard today. trying to help our Lord and Savior always. Serving the Master through the noontime are we. Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see. Heavenly beauty makes the shadows to flee. Glory is waiting when the Spirit is free. Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see.
Weary,
but sore, but the battle is won. Trust in the promise that we'll hear His well done. Serving the Master all the evening are we. Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see. Heavenly beauty makes the shadows to flee. Glory is waiting when the Spirit is free. Sunset is coming, but the sunrise we'll see. Amen. All right. I'm glad I will see the sun rise. Hallelujah. I'll see Him rise up. Meet Him at His coming. I say like old John, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
It's been a glory, won't it? Getting up, get around. Yeah, I would know this is the Easter day. Maybe sooner than you think. Maybe this Easter day.
Meet you in the morning, just inside the eastern gate. Then be ready, faithful pilgrim, left with you if it be too late. Inside the eastern gate over there,
will meet you in the morning. I will meet you in the morning over there.
Boy, I'm glad there is a happy meeting place and the joy of that glad meeting. I was listening to a 97-year-old man preach yesterday by way of CD. And he was preaching on heaven. His name is Lewis Arnold. And an elderly man was on his deathbed. And while he was on his deathbed, his wife passed away. And the son didn't want to tell him because he thought that it would cause his father to pass even sooner. And the father said, "What's my wife doing there?" He said, "Why didn't you tell me that she'd already passed? I'm looking at her." And you know, he said, heaven is closer than we realize. And there's a veil. The Bible says, for now we see through a glass darkly, and there's a veil. These glasses help me see up close. But if we had the right kind of glasses, we could see afar. And we could see those over there saying, "Come on! Glory! It's wonderful here! Everybody's happy up here! What a joyful meeting it will be to meet our loved ones over there!" But that father said, "Why didn't you tell me she passed?" He'd already saw the departed wife already on the faraway shore of heaven. He said, "Why did you tell me?" The son said, I didn't want to cause you to be worried about it. You've already had enough." And I'll tell you what, boy, when we get to that place, we can see better than we see right now. Hallelujah. Okay. Man, it's pretty good here this morning. It's about the best I've felt all week. It feels good to feel good. And I'll tell you what, I've had a rough week. But I reckon Lord had to get me ready for such a time as this. And all the things I've been through have been nothing compared to what I'm experiencing right now. And I thank the Lord. Man, I'm glad it's real, Brother Melvin. I'm glad, praise God, you can have all you want.
Yeah.
And then come back and get some more if you want some more. And praise the Lord. Thanks to Jesus. Man, I'm not the man I used to be, Molly. And I don't want y'all to ever meet the man I used to be. I'm glad, praise God, that man's dead. I'm glad he's been buried. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles this morning, Hebrews chapter 2. Amen. He made a mark there, didn't he? I mean, he made a mark. The world can't get rid of it to this day. Boy, he put a mark on the hill called Gotha.
And then what he put in heaven for us to see in heaven.
Yes. Amen. Molly, I'll tell you what, she's right on cue this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. And I thank God he went to Calvary. If he hadn't went to Calvary, I couldn't go to heaven. But when he went to Calvary, he made a new and a living way. What that means is now an entrance has been made to heaven. He said, "I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved." The door to heaven is Jesus. He said, "I am the way." Not a way, the way, the only way. He went on to say, "No man comes to the Father but by me." That's the only entrance to heaven is Jesus. We're going to be preaching this morning on a closer look at Jesus. I like preaching about Jesus. If you read your Bible, it said, "And they preached unto him Jesus." They began that same scripture and preached Jesus. We're going to be looking in Hebrews chapter 2 this morning. I'll read the entire chapter. I don't like to read a lot of scripture because I know you can just digest so much. But there's only 18 verses. And I'll read these total, these 18 verses. If you've got a Scofield Bible. If you don't, that's okay. But I'm glad I do have a Scofield Bible. If you do have one, underneath the heading of chapter 2 of Hebrews, it's got parentheses and it says, "Here's warned." Has anybody got a Scofield this morning?
Amen.
That's on page 1292, Hebrews chapter 2. Yeah. It says, "Here's warned." That's what this chapter is about. And it says, "Therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, then every transgression and disobedience received a just compensation of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. Here's our text verse. But we see Jesus. And that's what I want us to see this morning. I'm going to be preaching this morning a closer look at Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, and here's why, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. I will sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. But verily, he took not on him the nature of angels. If you've got a new King James Bible, this verse has been changed dramatically. Like Molly said, that's why we cleave to the King James Bible. But this verse is one verse that has been severely altered in a new King James Bible. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And that's important. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful, and he is, and a faithful, and he is, high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, for in that he himself have suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. And we'll stop our reading right there, and I'll draw our attention back again to verse number 9. And we want to preach this morning on a closer look at Jesus. Father, you know how little time I've had this week to do the things that I have to do. Lord, you know how at a loss I am right now. Lord, there's no way I can hide. Lord, how thin I am right now. Spiritually, I'm in dire need, Lord, of you to fill my sails from on high. And Lord, I do pray that, Lord, you will help me. You've already helped my voice. I'm already, Lord, just amazed to have utterance this morning, to have my voice back. I didn't even have it yesterday. And it seems like this morning I've got more than I've ever had. I thank you for that. And I pray also, Father, you'd give me words from heaven. Words that I need and words that these people will need, that we can truly leave this service today and say we've met with you and heard from you. And Lord, we've all been visited by you. And Lord, I pray you'll help me lift up your Son. But Lord, it's my earnest desire to lift him up. Your word says that Jesus said, when I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Help me to do that. Bless, I pray, the preaching of your word. Bless, Lord, dear Father, this message. For Lord, I desperately ask for that. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, I like taking a closer look at Jesus.
Yeah.
One reason I like taking a closer look at him, you know, Brother Melvin, he buys cars. I buy a little bit of everything. I bought Arrowheads. I bought boats. Man, I'm sitting here looking at all the things I bought. They look so good when you first buy them. I mean, I'll never forget, they look so good, you think, what a deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you get it home, and you get looking at it a little closer, and you say, what have I done? How did I miss this? What was I thinking? Well, Jesus ain't like that.
That's right.
The closer you look at him, Sophia, the better he looks.
Amen.
I mean, you can scrutinize him under the most earnest scrutiny. You can put him under any magnification, and there's no imperfection. He's just perfect. Man, oh man, oh man. What a deal. Our God. When I got Jesus. I mean, but I've been hoodooed. I've been bedazzled. I remember when I married my wife. Man, she never looked no better than she did on her honeymoon night. The day we got married, and that preacher said, you take this woman. I said, I do. I'm just like Adam. I didn't stutter a bit.
Amen.
I said, I do. We've been together now 38 years. She knows all my faults, and I know all hers and then some. And you know, I love her. And the kind of love that God had in mind for the marriage was that you would love them with an unconditional love. That means no matter the faults, no matter what, you love them. And that's the way he loved me. I'm just full of faults. And the closer you look at me, the more there is to fight. But he loved me, amen, with an unconditional, an unending, an everlasting love. Hallelujah. And you know what God told us, Melvin? He told us to love our wives. Christ loved the church. Man, that's love. Whew. I'm working on that, Carolyn. I'm really trying. I'm really trying. I am. Somebody asked me yesterday, won't you ever bring your wife with you to church? I said, I'm trying. My daughter parked my car over in the Goodwill parking lot yesterday, and she came out. And there was a whole gang of people out there around my car. She was a little concerned. They's from Hawaii. And they said, where'd you get these signs? She felt a little better when she found out what the gathering was about. And she said, well, I've got some. I'll keep a stack of them Steve Schilecki cards in the console. She said, I've got some things in the car. I'll give you some. She dug through them, found two or three, and gave them to them. She said, you can order them. And they said, yeah, but where'd you get them? And I told her, I said, honey, I custom ordered them. That's them ones on my door. It says you can know you wasn't born gay. You can know that you were created. You can know that you're saved.
Yeah.
That one there I had custom made. They'll have to do that like I did. Just tell Steve they want to put together.
Yeah.
I mean, I like putting things together. I mean, boy, Jesus put things together. Amen. But all I want to preach today on Jesus. I've got more than I know what to do with. I feel like a blind dog in the meat house right now. Boy, I mean, it looks good everywhere. Look, amen. Oh, hallelujah. But boy, I bought some things from heaven. When I got home, it didn't look as good as when I bought them. I thought somebody's changed that thing. Somebody's done something different. Because that ain't the one I bought, but it ended up being the one I bought. It's just I didn't look at it careful enough. But when we look at Jesus, you can examine Him. And no matter from which direction, no matter how close, you'll find out there's no fault in Him. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Glory! Well, that's the problem the world's got. They want to find a fault in Him. And they ain't one to find. Woo! Glory! I've got a Bible back me up, James. And I tell you what, buddy. I know my Bible, amen. And it's good to know your Bible. I mean, I like to talk to them Jehovah's Witnesses. I like to talk to them morons and Mormons. I try to be nice this morning. I tell you what, don't bother me to talk to a Muslim or anything. And if you know that Bible enough, you know, buddy, and that Word of God is quick and sharp and need two-edged sword. I tell you what, when you pull that sword out, you'll find out, buddy, you got everything you need. Oh, yeah. I mean, one time I had an encounter with some Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, I didn't know they were Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, a man I knowed all my life. His dad's passed away, and I went over there to comfort the family because I didn't know about it after the fact. And I went over there. His wife's name was Elsie, and his son's name was John. And I went over there to comfort them on the passing of Ed. I went over to his house while he was alive many times and tried to reason with him to get saved, and he'd look out the window like I wasn't there. And I said, buddy, you're on your deathbed. You ought to think about this. You ought to think about eternity. I know. I've been in several meetings like that. I remember going to Carol Coffey's house, same thing. But, you know, try. And that's about all you can do is try. But he had passed away. Father, as I know, died lost. If he died lost, it's over. All hope's gone. Hell will be glad to show you it's hell to die without God. There's no relief, no morphine, no grace.
Amen.
You know, even a lost person has got grace and space to repent. But down in hell, the reality of hell makes it a real hell because they realize they went beyond the space that God gave them to repent. They realize nobody's fault but theirs that they're in hell. That God stretched out His hand even with a nail hole in it. He said, yet still my hand is outstretched still. But I went over there and there's some... John met me when I parked the car. He said, come on in, brother. They weren't having a Bible study. I said, well, glory. Man, I went there. These guys all decked out. I mean, they looked like Baptist preachers to me. They had on a suit and a tie. And here I was. You know, I went over there trying to look like a little something, you know. I went in there and I sat down. I wasn't private of what was going on. I mean, I didn't know they were Jehovah's Witnesses. I was just sitting down there a minute. Pretty soon it leaked out. Well, I wasn't at a disadvantage. I was like Stephen. Man, they couldn't resist the Spirit because it was real. And what they had wasn't real. You'll find out God is real and what they've got ain't real. And the Bible will back you up. The Holy Spirit will bear witness. I don't really want to talk about that too much. I want to talk about Jesus. Man, oh man, the closer you look at Him, the more perfect He becomes. The Bible says, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me. And all through that book, from cover to cover, there are many metaphors of Christ, many types of Christ, many manifestations of Christ. I mean, He's just all through there. It don't take too long to find Him. John, St. John starts out, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God.
Amen.
All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made.
That's right.
Oh, wow. What a way to start a book out. Amen. Man, He made the world. He came down here and the world knew Him not. But verse 14 said, the Word became flesh. We beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I mean, God came down and walked among us. Man, it ain't hard to see Jesus. Like Molly said, He left His mark everywhere He went. She said He went to Calvary. Wonder how we know that. They couldn't dismiss it. They tried to buy it out. They tried to sell a bill of goods. They said, we'll give you money to say the disciples came and stole him away. But I'll tell you what, buddy, he showed himself not just resurrected but triumphant. And I'll tell you what, he showed himself to all 12 and the 500. Last of all, he showed himself to Paul at that time with Saul. And he said, who art thou? He said, I'm Jesus, boy. He's hard you to kick against the pricks. You're a chosen vessel, son. You're going to suffer many things for my name's sake. Saul may have thought he was going to do otherwise, but he found he wouldn't have a putty in the hands of the potter. Man, I tell you what, after he finally saluted heaven, boy, God used Saul, changed his name to Paul. And I'll tell you what, he wrote almost all the New Testament. I'm convinced he wrote even the book of Hebrews. Now, that's not documented. Most people that know their Bible to any degree, like me, believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, but I don't want to preach about that neither. A closer look at Jesus. I want to preach this morning on His miraculous birth. Now the Bible says in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel, and that means God with us. That's what the name Emmanuel means. Now the world hates and attacks the virgin birth because they can't duplicate it. In 2046 so years ago, not like the NIV, a young maiden, but a virgin. God could have put in there if He wanted to, Molly. He could have put in there a virgin named Mary, a spouse to one Joseph, shall conceive and bear a son and call His name. He could have done that. Because He already knew that her name would be Mary. He already knew she'd be a spouse to Joseph, but He left the rest of that just so we'd see that a virgin did conceive, a virgin did give forth birth to a son named Jesus, and the angel Gabriel came and disclosed all this to her. But the world hates a virgin birth. Because, see, they can't dismiss it. See, they can't duplicate it. They can't dismiss it. So therefore, they hate the virgin birth and they attack it because if He wasn't virgin born, then we'd not have a Savior because He'd be of corruptible seed, but He was of incorruptible seed. He was without sin. He came into this world and made His entrance, and the world didn't know what to do with this Jesus, which is called Christ. Amen. But they could not prevent Him. He made His entrance, amen, a humble entrance. I want to preach probably several series. I don't know. I'll let the Lord lead in this matter. But I want to preach as long as the Lord let me on a closer look at Jesus. Now, we have two genealogies given about Jesus. One of them is given in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 through 25. And the other one's given in Luke chapter 3, verse 23 through 38. The one in Matthew Gospel gives Joseph's genealogy, and the one in Luke gives Mary's genealogy. You have two different genealogies merged right here. And God, He wants you to look closer at His Son. He wants you to examine. He wants you to see how hard it was for Him to put the bloodline of His Son together. I mean, you got Rahab the harlot in there. And He's not ashamed to call us brethren. And they're not all pedigrees, Sophia. There's some in there that kind of wish God would take some things that's wrote about them in the Bible out. You got David in there that took Uriah the Hittite's wife into his bosom and conceived. She conceived and bore a son. And he thought he had that thing pretty much concealed up. And he thought surely nobody knows it. And he said to Uriah, when you come in from the battle, go spend the night with your wife. And Uriah wouldn't do it. He sent him back with a letter to Ahab. Not to Ahab, but to Abner. And said, set him in the front line and back away and let him die. And Uriah the Hittite, a faithful, loyal subject was the husband of Bathsheba. And they withdrew, and he died. And Abner sent word back to David, said, Uriah the Hittite's dead. And David went and took Bathsheba to wife. And here come a little old preacher named Nathan, come up and told David a little parable about a rich man that had all kind of sheep. And this other, his neighbor, had one little ewe lamb. And he had a visitor, and he come, took the ewe lamb, killed it for his guest. And David jumped up mad and said, the man's done this thing. This deserves to die and restore him fourfold. And Nathan said, you're the man. And I tell you what, all of a sudden it hit home.
Yeah.
David went in and he said, I've sinned. Yeah. If you want to read David's prayer word for word, read Psalms 51. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be just when thou judgest. I'll tell you what, also you see in there a plea for a man that is a sinner. He said, create them me a clean heart and a right spirit. Wash me thoroughly of my transgressions. Thou might be whiter than snow. I'll tell you what, buddy, you can not only admit your sin, but you can also find cleansing in this one called Jesus. Glory to God. I thank God for Psalms 51. I've read it a few times myself and prayed it a few times myself. When a man gets in trouble, David show you what to do. He was in trouble. You know what Nathan told David? He said, God's put away your sin, boy. You ain't going to die. He said, howbeit that baby's going to die. See, there are consequences to sin. David would rather he died than that little baby, Molly. He got down prostrate on the ground, wouldn't eat, wouldn't cleanse, wouldn't shave himself, praying to God on behalf of this little baby, this little innocent baby, because of his monstrous sin. That baby died, and David rose up, cleansed himself, went into the temple of God. Whew. When you sin, you need to do something. The Bible said he to confess his sin will be saved. He that confesses and forsakes his sin will be... Well, I can't remember exactly how that verse says. He that confesses and forsakes his sin will be... far from harm or something like that, but I'll tell you one thing, don't follow sin. Follow God. But I'll tell you what, buddy, two genealogies given. One of them's Joseph's genealogy and the other one's Mary's genealogy, and God merged them together to bring forth a son called Jesus that he could be born in this world. Amen. Yes. I want to read some now. I quoted some while ago, but I want to read some now out of St. John. I want to read 14 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, talking about John, but was sent to bear witness of that light, talking about Jesus. And that light was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, I received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. I became a son of God. Even to them that believe on his name. I believed on his name. I received him by faith. And he made me a son of God. That's the clearest plan of salvation I know of in the Bible. Here is the most important thing. I witnessed a young girl this morning. She said, what do you mean by being saved? I said, born of God. Look at this. Which were born. Now just leave all the rest of this out. Put the last part on there. Which were born of God. See, I was born to Bob and Dolores Wade by blood. I was born by the flesh to my parents. But I got born to God by the new birth. I got grafted in, got adopted in, got born in, and I've been born of God, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That's important. That's the birth that God wants, the new birth. born again. And the Word, which was made flesh, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm telling you, Jesus came into this world to a poor couple, Joseph and Mary. And I do want to read a little bit about that. His birth is in Luke chapter number 1. Yeah, it's in Mark also. But Luke chapter number 1 tells us in greater detail of the birth of Jesus. I said I got quite a bit of Scripture. Sorry about that. But Luke chapter number 1, verse 26, it said, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, there's a lot of confusion about where Jesus was born, so pay attention as I read here this morning. He was sent to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came in and said unto her, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. That's real important. Because there's some people that don't believe that the Lord's going to come down here and rule for 1,000 years. And He's going to do it on the throne of His father David. Because the bloodline was cut off in Jeremiah. God said, write this man childless. There'll be no more sons in the line of David. God grafted in a son. This son's name is Jesus. And He brought the bloodline back. That God had made a promise to David that of his seed there would always be a son to sit upon the throne, and they wasn't fit to sit on the throne, so God cut it off and engrafted in Jesus, and now He's going to sit on the throne of His father's David, and God's going to fulfill His promise to David that there'll always be one to sit on the throne. And He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She's a virgin. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth. Hold on a minute here. That cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. I want to stop my reading right there. And I want to go to Luke chapter number 2 and try to cut some of this out. It's a lot of reading. Luke chapter number 2, we'll read the first 7 verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth. That's important. Because they called him a Nazarene. And he was. But he wasn't born in Nazareth. He wasn't born in Galilee. And I'll try to comment on that best I can. But he went up out of there into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. That's why you need to know the genealogy of Joseph and the genealogy of Mary. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That manger, that humble birth, was perfect for the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But I said a while ago that the NIV says a maiden shall conceive and bear a son. Little girls have children all the time. They're getting younger. Matter of fact, I think 6 to 8 years old now in some cases. But this was a virgin. She had to be a virgin for God to have a place to be born. Because He's going to take away the sin of the world. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. And I don't really want to elaborate on that, but I'll tell you this much right here. Jesus was born of a virgin, made His entrance into this world without sin, and I'll tell you what, died for the sins of the world, tasted death for every man, got up so we could get up, and I'll tell you right now, He done everything according to the Scripture. Amen. His humble birth didn't make the headlines. It wasn't in the paper next morning, Carolyn, that Jesus was born in the manger in Bethlehem. Only headlines it made was heaven. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, I can hear them up in heaven right now. Glory to God. You see these angels down here, they can't hold back no longer. We'll read a few more verses. Verse 8 said, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Look at verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. I didn't really get that the first time I read that, but listen to this. There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. These ain't angels. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. He was witnessed by the shepherds. It's important that he was born of a virgin, but it was also important that it was witnessed. These poor shepherds had no idea what they were about to see, what had just come to pass. But a virgin had just given birth to a son, not just a son, but the Son of God. Amen. And I tell you what, he made his humble entrance in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he come in this world, and it can't be spoken against. They witnessed it. They praised God. They rejoiced in just seeing what all they'd heard and seen as it was told unto them. I just got a few more verses here. Put your seatbelt on. It's going to rock your boat just a little bit. I didn't even realize this myself till I was studying this. But he's been miraculously born. He's been witnessed by shepherds. And now his godly parents are going to dedicate him to God. And I do think we'll dedicate our children to the Lord. So verse 21 through 24, when And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it's written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. They dedicated him to the Lord. Here in verse 25, here's another witness of his miraculous birth. Listen, it's real good. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus for to do with him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Boy, God knows how to word it, don't he? Simeon said, I've seen it. I've seen your salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of men in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon gave witness to this miraculous birth. He'd been told by the Holy Ghost, Molly, that he wouldn't die till he saw this miracle. These shepherds heard about it and they went over there and they said, wow, just like it was told us, a babe lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Man, they're broadcasting it. They're out there. Y'all ain't gonna believe what we saw. Now Simeon's been waiting. He's up in years. And now the Holy Ghost brought him by Spirit to the temple. Here comes Mary and Joseph. And he grabs that baby up, picks him up in his arms and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Glory to God in my mind's eye. I can see that moment. I can see a man with white hair on his head and he's waited a long time, Brother Melvin, but he hadn't waited so long that he gave up. And now all of a sudden he's got in his arms the very thing that God said, you'll see before you die. And now he's holding this miracle baby that's been born to a virgin with a miraculous birth that cannot be denied. And the closer you are to Jesus, the more there is to see. And this part here is going to rock your boat a little bit. There's a woman preacher here. She ain't even got a husband. I don't know how she could be the husband of one wife. But here's a woman preacher here. There was one Anna, a prophetess. That's a feminine word for a preacher. She's a daughter of, can't even say this word, of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She's of great age and lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years. That's 84 years. She's been a widow for 84 years. She had a husband for 7 years. I don't know how old she is, but it's close to 100. Somewhere in that neighborhood, because she, I don't know what age they married back then. But I'm going to say she's close to a teenager. She got married. Margaret, she stayed married for 7 years. So let's just say she's 15. And she married her husband, got married for 7 years. That's 22 years, right? Take 22 years and add 80 and 4 years to that. And that's over 100. So she's up in years. And here she is. She's dedicated. She's a widow about 84 years. She departs not from the temple, but serves God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in at that instant, gave thanks likewise to the Lord. Here's her message. And spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. May not have been a long message, but she preached a little sermonette. She spake of Him to all of them that looked for Jesus, that looked for redemption. She said, you ain't got to look no further than Jesus. But there's all you need, boys. I never thought much about women preachers, but the very first message, as he was a babe, dedicated to the Lord, Anna preached it. She spake of Him to all of them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She said, you ain't got to look no further than Him, boys. And the closer you look at Him, the more you're going to be convinced He's the one you need. She preached a little sermon about Him. She bore witness of Him. And the closer you look at Jesus, the more Him there is to see. And time would fail for me to go as far as I'd like to go. But I'll tell you what, boy. Brother Mel, and I seen him a while ago, when I was talking about something, how you buy things, you get them home, look at them a little closer. And they're not what they seem to be. They don't even look like they're the same thing that you thought you bought, and you think somebody swapped you or something. Well, I'm glad it's not that way with Jesus. I'm glad, praise God, you get Him in the light, and you get the glass out, and the closer you look, the better He looks. Woo! Hallelujah! I didn't realize I got so great a deal until I looked even closer, and I found out, hallelujah, I'm complete in Him. The captain of my salvation is in Him. Hallelujah! Woo! And I'll tell you why. When they scrutinized old Brother Eddie, I just said, just go talk to Jesus. Go take a look at Jesus. You find some fault in Him, I'll talk to you. But if you can't find no fault in Him, don't bother me. Amen? And I'm glad, Brother Melvin, no matter how much scrutiny they give Him, no matter what kind of test they put Him through, He'll come out glory to God, victorious, triumphant. Hallelujah. Woo! They sent some men to arrest Him. They come back without Him, Carolyn. They didn't know how to answer them. They said, all we know is never a man spake like that man. Man, there's just something about the way Jesus says things. You know they're different. Yeah, thank you, Carolyn. They're different. Because He's different. He made a difference in me. My wife, wish she was here this morning. She got a better husband because of Jesus. My kids got a better father because of Jesus. My grandkids got a better grandfather because of Jesus. Man, they come in and catch Grandpa down on his knees a praying. And I thank God for that. It don't bother me a bit. One day Grandpa ain't going to be around. I want him to have the right kind of memory about Grandpa. That one Lillison, you know what she said about Melvin? She said, I want to come hear you preach sometime, Grandpa. I said, well, you just tell Nanny to bring you on up, honey. I found me a little leverage and I'm pulling on all I can. Mm-hmm. And she's going to come, but my wife's forgot another leverage. She gets Mallory to come home with him. And she's a little girl and she wants to play. She's lonely and she brings Mallory home and she has to stay. She's going to come three or four times. And I'm still praying about that. Well, it's working in there. The little grandbaby wants to hear her grandpa preach. Man, I want to hear my grandbaby in church. I want to hear her shout and sing. Man, hallelujah. And I believe God. Brother Melvin, I guess if Molly picked up this song, Living by Faith, in the same God. And I had to go back and look twice. I thought, how can this be? $180 in my PayPal account this morning. Now yesterday there was $17 in there. And I wrote that check for $179. You're talking about living by faith. I'm sitting there thinking, that check can't go through the mail till Monday. That gives God time to work. That's exercising faith. Now, I don't want to be foolish about faith, but God did say, try and prove me. And every now and then I do a little bit of that. I do try the Lord and try to prove the Lord. I say, Lord, I wish You'd crack the window of heaven just a little bit. And I ain't got it all figured out. I figured out one thing. I ain't got to look no further than Jesus.
That's right.
That girl had that issue of blood. She said, if I can just get to Jesus, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
Man, she got in that door tooth throne and him, and they was trying to get his autograph, trying to rub on him, and she just slipped in there curling and just grabbed the hem of his garment. And when she did, there was about 240 volts of healing went through her, and glory to God. I don't know how in the world she kept so quiet, but somehow another buddy, woo! She felt in her body, she's healing her plague. And Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And here she is over on me. I can see her now. I need, I trust you, because I believe that if I could just touch a hem of your garment, I'd be healed. Man, oh man, I like it on that fashion. When you get the cane heifers, don't worry about it. I've had them before. Don't worry about how bad it sounds. Don't worry about what you do when you get the cane heifers. It's always all right. I've got to somehow shut up, because we've got to have a short business meeting. But I'll tell you what. The closer you look at Jesus, the more perfect that He becomes. The closer you look at Him, the more you're convinced that He's not only what He says He is, but more, so much more. John said, "I suppose if everything could have been written about Him could be written," he said, "the world couldn't contain the volumes of the books. Just write about Him, William. It's all good. It's good because it was towards us." Father, we thank You for the privilege to preach about Your Son. Lord, I thank You for what I felt here this morning. I do pray, dear Father, for Your help in this invitation, not knowing what needs to be done. Lord, whatever is done, I pray to be done for Your glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Oh, like this, everybody stand. Boy, it's a blessed privilege to brag on Jesus. Amen. We got much to do with Him. Man, oh man.
51.
You need to come this morning. You know more about that than I do. You need to come. By all means, come. If you don't need to come, if you can forbear coming, you do that. Away from God. Now I'm coming home. The past of sin, too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. God bless you. Yeah! William, just showing how easy it is. God bless you. Lord, I thank You for my brother this morning. Lord, that's just a blessing. See Brother William come forward this morning, helping out Lord in the preliminaries, Father, helping out with the penny march and with the offering. Lord, to see him even now, Father, showing the simplicity, every obedience, come. I don't know if he just come to thank You, come to ask, or whatever he come for, Lord. I pray Your grant and Your riches and glory. I pray Your blessing as You do. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brother. Amen. Coming home, more to roam. Open wide Thine arms of hope. I'm coming home. Said, "Are you straight? There's a closer walk. Walk in the light. She's in the light. Have fellowship with God. He ain't gonna walk in the darkness with you." He said, "Come out of that darkness in the light, and then you have some fellowship." Home. Come on. Coming home. Evermore to roam. Open wide Thine arms. Of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Thank you, Brother Melvin. Thank each of you for coming this morning. Y'all have encouraged me. I hope I've encouraged you. The Bible talks about edifying one another. That just means encouraging one another. Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart. We'll give opportunity for that, and then we'll go to business meeting here in just a minute. Has anybody got a word on your heart, testimony, or anything?
I'm a
Lord, this morning. I thank you for that virgin birth.
Bless you,
I know
Mom.
It's real.
Amen.
Nobody else believes that I believe.
Amen.
And I love you this morning, and I thank you for the cross. And I'm looking for him because I know he's coming.
God bless you, Mommy. I don't know what it's about Molly up here lately, but she's been right on cue. As a matter of fact, I looked at her and I said, anybody got a testimony? I just knew she was going to testify this morning. Maybe somebody else got one this morning. I kind of pinned her out. What's got there?
Well, I thought I had a good day. My son, when I became home Sunday night, for me, Donnie Edwards, I said, you made my day. I couldn't wait to come to church.
Woo!
Morning, Harvey. Waking up, look at the clock. I was afraid I'd oversleep. And I thought, Lord, you faithful me to pray.
Bless you, soul.
I told Donnie this morning. I said, yeah. God is saved you last Sunday night. I said, your faith. You said you lacked a little faith. I said, Bobby said...
Didn't the faith come forward, didn't he?
Bobby said, you'll never be no more
saved. That's right.
And so, I just praise his name that he... I said, there's more people praise the Lord for one soul being
saved. That's right. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner more than 199 that need no repentance, she said.
Oh, Satan's already working on you. He's telling you you're not saved yet.
Hey, she's right. The devil didn't tell me I wasn't saved until I got saved. Now I have enough sense to say, well, I must have something. He never told me nothing before I got saved. Hey, man.
I told him that I've prayed for all these years, for your months or whatever. He didn't remember either since the first day he came here.
Yeah.
He asked me if I was the soul you demon. I'll talk about it. I said, I guess I'm only Sophia.
Amen.
And he said, well, they all loved you. And so I thought then, and he kept coming to church. I kept praying for him. I said, now it's time for you to pray for me.
Amen.
I said, you know my health's not good.
Bless you, Sophia.
And I said, now it's time for you to start praying for me.
Hallelujah. Amen. Getting saved is kind of like getting a measles to show up on you somewhere. But I agree with what Sophia said there. I have to admit, the devil didn't tell me I wasn't saved after I got saved. And that kind of backfired on him because it kind of confirmed that I got something. I thought, that's funny, never said nothing until I got saved. And hallelujah, I just stayed with it. And pretty soon, but I have to admit, I was able to stand a little bit more in the first infancies of getting saved. I didn't run quite like I do right now.
Yeah. Amen.
Anybody else got a word in your heart? Okay.
We can always thank God for answering prayers.
Amen. Amen, Sister Carolyn. Amen. Boy, it's been good to be here. Amen.
Dylan, he kept going until at least a couple weather got up.
Yeah. Well, that was right. It hung in there until we didn't need it.
Yeah.
Amen.
But now,
when it gets hot, we're going to need that coal. I know how that is. We get them fans out.
Only trust
you.
Hey, man, I agree with that, too. That's in the positive terms. Like you said, it held out till we didn't need it no more, and then it calmed out. We can get that thing redone. All right, we'll make a motion right now that we dismiss our service. And we want to have someone, if they would please, dismiss our service. And we want to also have someone to bring order our business meeting here. Does anybody want to?